WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. In Winchester, Valley Health opens only the second emergency department in the state to treat people experiencing a mental health crisis. In the only debate in Virginia's 5th Congressional District, Republican State Senator John McGuire refuses to commit to supporting the results of the presidential election. And new data show Virginia's process for taking non-citizens off the state's voter rolls could be wrongfully identifying eligible voters for removal. This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, October 18th. A man died in an incident at a construction site in Rockingham County Thursday morning. WHSV reports an unidentified 58-year-old man from Verona died at the site on Switchboard Road. Details of the cause of death have not been released. Valley Health is opening a new emergency department in Winchester specifically to treat people experiencing a mental health crisis. WMRA's Randy B. Hagee reports.
The ER at Winchester Medical Center treated about 2,500 people in a mental health crisis last year. Starting October 29th, those patients can now go to the EMPATH unit, which stands for Emergency Psychiatric Assessment, Treatment, and Healing. This is the second of its kind in the state. The first opened in Lynchburg last year. Karen Dorr, the health system's senior director of behavioral health services, said the traditional emergency department is just not set up to best treat mental health issues.
It's a chaotic place. It can be loud. It's not set up as a therapeutic space for people who are in crisis. So we wanted a whole team of behavioral health clinicians to be able to meet with these patients quickly, address their needs, either transfer them to our inpatient unit or send them home with all the appointments they need.
The physical space is well lit, with soothing nature scenes on the walls and what's known as anti-ligature features, where objects like countertops and door handles are designed so it's hard to harm yourself with them. Staff will include psychiatric nurses, peer specialists, mental health technicians, therapists, social workers, and psychiatric nurse practitioners. They're still hiring for the unit, but Dorr said they have enough clinicians to open. And unlike many mental health care providers in the Commonwealth, she's not worried about being able to maintain staffing levels.
The nursing staff who are here, they love these patients. They love their colleagues. They love Valley Health.
The unit was built with $2.5 million in state funds. Dorr said the Valley Health Foundation also supports the system's ongoing expansion of behavioral health services. For WMRA News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
We posted photos from the new unit at WMRA.org and on the app. In the only debate in Virginia's 5th Congressional District, Republican State Senator John McGuire refused to commit to supporting the results of the upcoming presidential election. The Daily Progress also reports that he floated a conspiracy theory that the COVID-19 pandemic was planned to rig the 2020 election against former President Donald Trump. Meeting in front of a crowd of 75 people at Hamden-Sydney College near Farmville on Thursday, McGuire squared off with Democratic businesswoman Gloria Witt in the 45-minute debate, during which both candidates took questions on the economy, immigration, education, and more. Here's McGuire on diversity initiatives.
When I look at diversity, equity, and inclusion, I'm against that. It should be meritocracy. If a plane goes down in the jungle and there's one direction you go to save your whole team, do you want someone who's never been in the jungle? Or do you want a Navy SEAL who's an expert on survival to keep the team alive? It should be based on merit.
Witt had a different view.
I like to think of it as if everybody won a pair of shoes and everybody got a Nike size 7, how would that feel? That's equality. Equity would give a person what they need. You might get a size 7, you might get a size 6, and you might get a size 12, because it fits.
Witt regularly returned to the topic of education and the dangers of Trump's MAGA movement. She labeled the Republican Party extreme and argued that more money should be invested in the district's technical schools to help more young people acquire better-paying jobs. New data show that Virginia's process for taking non-citizens off the state's voter rolls could be wrongfully identifying eligible voters for removal. Data obtained by 8 News from registrars in Hanover County, Chesterfield County, the city of Richmond, and the city of Roanoke show that 207 voters there have been removed from their rolls since August, when Governor Glenn Youngkin signed an executive order directing the Department of Elections to make daily updates to the state's voter rolls and remove individuals who fail to verify to the DMV that they are citizens. Earlier this month, the Department of Justice announced it had filed a lawsuit against Virginia, claiming the process violated a federal law preventing states from systematically removing voters from the voter rolls 90 days before Election Day. A task force created by Governor Youngkin to review proposed changes to the VEMSDEP program met Thursday. The group discussed the impacts of caregiving on military and veteran families. Megan Pauley with VPM News reports.
According to a presentation from the Elizabeth Dole Foundation, the number of Americans caring for an injured or ill service member or veteran has nearly tripled over the past decade. Virginia Military Survivors and Dependents Education Program Task Force member Kayla Owen said she hopes this additional context will help inform what is ultimately recommended to lawmakers.
If you're one of the 40% that is caring for a veteran and then also has a child at home and you are working part-time potentially, and then how do you go to school full-time? That's not an option.
One idea Owen has is to change the program so that it's credit-based instead of semester-based, so students wouldn't lose out on benefit dollars if they opt to only take one or two classes a semester. According to State Education Secretary Amy Gudera, next steps for the task force, including whether they'll make any formal recommendations, has yet to be determined.
Megan Pauley reporting. Virginia's governor and attorney general are touting statistics indicating drops in violent crimes and homicides. At an event in Roanoke on Thursday, Glenn Youngkin said that violent crime in Virginia is down 11% so far this year. Murders are down 30%. He said the declines have been even more pronounced in the 13 cities participating in the Ceasefire Virginia program. That's a federal, state, and local partnership that targets repeat gun offenders for prosecution and hefty prison sentences. Youngkin told legislators that they would be hearing from him about expanding the program and its funding during the next General Assembly session.
And again, to our General Assembly friends, here comes the Attorney General and here comes the governor, because we've still got more work to do.
Youngkin also praised the violence prevention and intervention initiatives that have also been working in the participating cities. Attorney General Jason Meares also praised the program.
In general, only 5% of criminal offenders, not 5% of the general population, only 5% of criminal offenders in any given city commit over 50% of that city's violent crime.
In the 2 years it's been operating, the partnership has resulted in 68 convictions with long federal prison sentences. The explosion of data centers in Virginia is creating a surge in demand for power and how that power is generated. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope has more.
Demand for energy in Virginia is expected to double over the next 15 years. And Christopher Miller at the Piedmont Environmental Council says that's driven by Dominion Energy creating a crisis by contract.
They're negotiating in private with large data center operators or developers, and then using those contracts as the basis for future demand projections, which they would like all of us as ratepayers to pay for.
Tim Sawinski at the Sierra Club says big tech is responsible for the increase in demand and they should pick up the tab.
Dominion's relationship with the tech industry is not built on protecting ratepayers. Its foundation is maximizing profits through an excuse to building new fossil fuel plants, and data centers give them that excuse.
Several new natural gas power plants are part of Dominion's plan for the next 15 years. And Aaron Ruby at Dominion Energy says renewable energy is not reliable enough to meet all the demand.
That's why we need an all-of-the-above approach that is basically renewables plus carbon-free nuclear plus always reliable natural gas that's going to provide backup power when renewables are not producing electricity.
The Virginia Clean Economy Act calls for carbon-free energy by 2045, although Dominion could ask regulators for permission to keep using fossil fuel plants beyond 2045 if they are needed for reliability. I'm Michael Pope.
Well, finally, today, let's get a review of the week, the lawsuit over Virginia's voter roll purge and its potential fallout are still making headlines. Jeff Shapiro, political columnist at the Richmond Times-Dispatch, joins Michael to recap the week in politics and state government.
All right, a lot to get to this week, starting with this lawsuit from the Department of Justice against the governor of Virginia And the DOJ officials are really concerned that Virginia will be kicking legitimate voters off the rolls, not people who are undocumented, but actual citizens being kicked off the rolls. Jeff Shapiro, how is this playing out?
Well, you know, Governor Youngkin had indicated by executive order that he wanted the voter rolls purged on a daily basis. And since January 22, when he took office, about 6,300 people have been removed. Now, the administration's contention is that these are non-citizens. And this is all about preserving the purity of the electoral process. That lawsuit by the Justice Department and similar lawsuits by immigrant rights and voting rights groups indicate they believe otherwise. However, this is a big chance for the governor to, if you will, magnify his magna bona fides. This is very much a part of the national Republican narrative that, you know, somehow the electoral process in this country is subject to abuse by the Democrats.
So I'm wondering if the back and forth here on the voter purge and the politics, the Republican reaction to the DOJ lawsuit will change anything in Virginia this year.
Absolutely unlikely. It's quite clear that this lawsuit is very much part of the national narrative. The governor's been asked about it on his favored forum, Fox News, as well as CNN, where he had some difficulty with one of CNN's interviewers. But the absence of traffic in Virginia by the candidates themselves and many of their principal surrogates, as well as the limited advertising, would seem to be an indication that Virginia is very much locked down for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. And of course, should the Democrats, as anticipated, hold Virginia at the presidential level, that would continue a win streak first put in place in 2008 with Barack Obama's victory here.
And on that issue about Virginia possibly being a battleground state, I think we can look to the surrogates who are coming to Virginia to get some kind of indication about kind of where things stand here, right?
Or the absence of surrogates. Again, we haven't seen the candidates themselves, and the best we've been able to do so far is Gwen Walz, the wife of the vice presidential nominee, and Doug Emhoff, the husband of the presidential nominee. And those appearances were back in September, and here we are now, less than 3 weeks until the election, and we're not seeing any bold-faced names in these parts.
We're also seeing the governor create a new office to look at storm recovery in Southwest Virginia. Jeff Shapiro, you say this is the governor acting as comforter-in-chief.
And an important role for a Virginia governor. Of course, Southwest Virginia was hammered by Hurricane Helene. The scale of the damage, nothing like what we've seen in places like North Carolina and parts of Georgia. The governor spent a good deal of time out there monitoring the recovery. The creation of this office is intended to essentially keep his eyes and ears on the efforts by a number of these flooded out jurisdictions to rebuild.
All right, that's all the time that we've got for this week. My name is Michael Pope, and we've been joined by Jeff Shapiro of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Talk to you next week.
Have a great weekend.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Friday.